Good morning. We are speaking with Grammy Award-winning musician Jerry Douglas. Jerry and the Earls of Leicester will be at the Wheeler Opera House Sunday night, January 13th, and bringing that fantastic band up to a beautiful little opera house in Aspen, Colorado. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Good morning, Bob. Beautiful morning. I'm over here in Fort Collins this morning. Going to play here tonight. And this is the first of short run we're going to do here in Colorado. Been looking forward to this.
Jerry Douglas, known part of Colorado bluegrass music lore through his work at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival with Strength in Numbers, Allison Krauss and Union Station. Of course, his own wonderful Jerry Douglas band that covers a lot of turf. But his current project that he is bringing to Colorado, the Earls of Leicester, and playing off the music of Strugs and Flat. And tell me, what was the inspiration that got you going on creating this concept?
Well, I was sort of at a point in my career where I had all these other things going, and I wanted to do something that, you know, just rang all the bells for me. And I went back to, you know, the first music I remember listening to was Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs and the Foggy Mountain Boys. And that was, I would listen to that in the morning before I would go to school, and my father would be going off to work at the steel mill. I'm from Northeast Ohio. We're right over in the Rust Belt over there, where all the steel mills, all those things are. And, so this was music that, you know, was the first thing to really inspire me to become a musician. And it was a great project and harder than I thought. You know, the music is, you know, it's something that you remember that you love. And then when you really listen to it closely, you find out all the intricacies that you didn't know were there when you were, you know, 8 years old.
One of the keys to me of the Leicester's working so well is your collaboration with Sean Camp. Can you tell how you got Sean involved in the project?
Sure. Sean was actually the last piece of the puzzle. I had been doing a little overdubbing on a record that Charlie Cushman, the banjo player, and Johnny Warren, who plays the fiddle, those guys were making a record, and I did some overdubs on it, and I had been thinking about this project for a long, long time, but I'd just been so busy with these other things that there was no way I could pull it off. So I had recruited them and Barry Bales to play the bass, who was in Union Station with me, and Tim O'Brien, who you guys know really well, who was, you know, a Colorado institution for a long time. Those guys were on, and I thought, I need a lead singer, though. I need Lester, or this isn't going to work. And so, actually, my wife was the one who said, "What about Sean Camp?" And I said, "I just hadn't thought of it." So I called him up and said, "Would you be interested in this?" And he said, "Oh, man, I cut my teeth on that stuff." When, you know, we all have that in common. It was the first music we remember hearing. And so Sean came over to the rehearsal dressed in hat and tie and, you know, the string ties, like the Colonel.
Yeah.
Like the Kentucky Fried Chicken guy.
Right.
The Colonel ties and a blue suit on. And he was ready to go, man. We could have gotten on a bus right then and toured, but he just knocked it out of the park. He was perfect. And, you know, before that, I just never would have figured Sean to be that kind of singer, but he plays the role so well. He becomes Lester Flatt when he gets on stage, for better or worse, yeah.
One of the things that really comes across to me in your most recent CD, which at least here at KDNK is getting a lot of play, the live performance from the CMA Theater is just,
yeah,
sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
Well, that's the thing. That's the deal we made with each other, was you know, every band has fun. Every band has fun, and if you can't, if you don't have that philosophy, you're not going to go very far. It's not all business. It shouldn't be work. It shouldn't be work. It should come straight from your heart, and it should be fun. And that's the thing. It is fun. It translates. This band translates the music into fun. And we recorded two nights in the CMA Theater in the Country Music Hall of Fame back in February last year, and filled the place up two nights in a row, and just did the same show. You know, we're planning this recording and wanted to pick the best songs from each night, and it just worked out really well. I mean, we could have taken either night. Actually, we had come in from about a 10-day run out with the band, and we were pretty tight, and you have to rehearse those things. You don't want a song to fall apart in the middle of your recording, a live recording, especially in front of 800 people. So we were hitting on all cylinders, and yeah, I love that record. I really do. It's as live as it gets. I mean, there were no overdubs or anything like that, and we didn't do any tricks. You know, the songs are just as they went down, and it was so much fun. And yeah, getting play all over the place. It's been on the bluegrass chart. It's never dropped below 10. It came on at 1, and just, you know, it's just hanging up there in the charts. And you know, we go around, and I have to make room for these things. I've got juggling a lot of things. I was recording with James Taylor day before yesterday in Nashville, so I'm still recording a lot, and was talking with Allison the other day about getting the old band back together, they're going to be even more balls in the air here soon.
We're speaking with Jerry Douglas, Grammy Award winning musician, and he's bringing one of his projects, The Earls of Leicester, to the Wheeler Opera House Sunday night. And tickets are available at AspenShowTix.com. So how faithful to the Flat and Scruggs catalog are you during your performances?
Well, we are as faithful as we possibly can be. I mean, I feel like I morph into Josh Gray, the dobro player with the Flat and Scruggs. I mean, I love that style of playing, and that was the original book that I went from, you know. When I started to learn how to play the dobro, there were no tablets or books, and you know, no internet. So you had to actually listen to the records and finish and figure out what they were doing. And it was like learning how to speak English, you know, and then finally try it out on somebody who really knew how to speak English. It's a crazy thing, but I found out that I was doing it right. And over time, I kind of changed all that, you know, according to whoever I was playing with, and it advanced, and it evolved into a different kind of playing. But I love going back to the basics of the how Josh played, and it was by no means simple. He played with a lot of power and a very bluesy feeling. Just, you know, he just started the whole dobro ball rolling in a very, very powerful way. He was playing up against Earl Scruggs, you know, who was just an icon in country music and bluegrass music, and he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, goodness sakes. And you know, it's really hard music to play, but we try to stay as close to it and, you know, verbatim, you know, if we can, you know, even pulling out, we really search out the little nooks and crannies, you know, if you will, of what happened during their recordings, and try to bring those things to light.
And of course, a lot of people in the bluegrass world would think that you're a natural descendant of the Josh Graves tradition, pushing the boundary of the dobro. Was the Foggy Mountain Boys always a six-piece? I know they went through a lot of lineups. Did they always have
they
a...
were They were different. They were different in the front because Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs had both played with Bill Monroe and came right off of that and formed their own band. So they went for the same instrumentation, which was the banjo, guitar, fiddle. They had a mandolin player, but they had a deal with Bill Monroe that it would not be a mandolin-driven band. And they didn't need to be. They had Earl Scruggs, you know. So they became a different sounding band over time. And we play predominantly the music that Flatt and Scruggs recorded from 1954, which was the year that Paul Warren, who played the fiddle, and Josh Graves joined the band. So that's what we focus on is that time period. We don't focus on the early Mercury stuff as much, even though they did continue playing those songs, but they became a different thing. When they got Josh Graves in the band, they suddenly had this bluesy slide guitar sound, you know, added to the banjo and the hard driving thing, but Josh could also play just as fast and it was with as much power as Earl Scruggs. So it added to their repertoire that they could pull from. And so we try to play the music that they played from 1954 to 1965 in that area, because they broke up in 69, but they went through some really big growing pains between 65 and 69. This is really nerdy stuff, I know, but it's just not, it wasn't the music that they had been playing before, 1965. So we try to stay in that time period and mine those nuggets, you know, what we think are really great songs.
Out here in the Rocky Mountains, we are sort of associated with a pretty high energy, new grassy kind of feel. How's the reception been to the Earls out here in the Rocky Mountains?
Oh, it's been great. You know, one of the first places we played was at Rocky Grass.
Mm-hmm.
It went over so well, so well. And, you know, it's hard driving. It's where the Colorado Newgrass kind of thing. It was the father of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that are used in, except that, you know, we have no drums. You know, we're not electrified. We're playing through microphones only. We're not plugged in. And, but we're pretty high tech beyond that. You know, we're all on ear monitors, and there are no monitors on stage, you know, all over the floor, you know, and it's not very loud on stage, but what comes off the stage is very powerful.
Nice.
So, yeah. It's a really fun project. I love it, you know. And the deal that we made is when it becomes work, we're not going to do it anymore, you know. So right now we're still having a blast, and we're going to continue on with this until it's not fun. And I don't see that day on my horizon.
We've been talking with Warren, Ohio's Jerry Douglas. I'm in a Central Ohioan myself originally.
And, oh, great.
And he and his band, the Earls of Leicester, are going to be at the Wheeler Opera House Sunday night. Get on out there and have yourself a good time. Thank you so much, Jerry.
You're welcome, Bob. We'll see you there.
Bye.
Let's listen to a classic Flatt and Scruggs tune as performed by the Earls of Leicester.
We couldn't really do a show like this without doing this song. This was a staple in the repertoire of Flatt and Scruggs, and we should do this song. This is called "Rolling in My Sweet Baby's Arms."
Rolling my sweet baby's arms, they round the shack, tell them how Trank is back, and rolling my sweet baby's arms. shack till I'm out train. Back in the rolling, my sweet baby's on. Rolling, my sweet baby's on. Rolling, my sweet baby's on. Lay around the shack till I'm out train. Back in the rolling, my sweet baby's on. Friday night, while I was lying in jail, walking the street with another man, wouldn't even go my bail. Rolled in my sweet baby's arms, rolled in my sweet baby's arms. Lay around the shack till I'm out train, come back and roll in my sweet baby's arms. They drove me away from your door. Had my life to live over, I'd never go there anymore. Roll in my sweet baby's arms, roll in my sweet baby's arms. Lay around the shack till the melt train comes back, and roll in my sweet baby's arms.
Baby's on.